We got a great special guest today, a young man that I had the opportunity of working with in WCW, and also a young man that I have the opportunity of being friends with, and such an honor to be his friend because he's a real true player. And I mean, he's going to be truthful with you and honest, and that's the way to be. And Mac, I'm going to give you the honors to introduce our special guest today.
That special guest today is an actor, a wrestler in both WWE and WCW at one time, and he worked with James Brown, something that he has in common with Teddy. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Folks, our special guest today is Ernest the Cat Miller. Hey, Ernest, how are you doing, brother?
Hey, man, listen, first of all, I'd like to thank you guys for having me on, man. It's a pleasure. You know, for me to do this really meant something to me, and I'm going to tell you what it meant to me. I did a podcast earlier, and they put out something I didn't say, and I just said to my wife and to all my friends, I said, I'll never do another podcast. I said, you don't know these clowns. Just get a podcast name, and they start asking you these questions. And then the only thing they do is put out stuff for click, you know, get a click. That's all. They don't care about the guys that you care about. They don't really care about you. They just want you on the show. So I said, I'll never do another podcast. And then Nathan, you know, Teddy called and said, can you do my podcast? And yes, sir, I'll be right on.
And, you know, I've had the pleasure of meeting the Cat several times at different conventions and stuff. And he's always been very kind to me and doing interviews. And Cat, I want you to know, I appreciate that very much.
Well, you're nice to me, man. You're a nice guy, man. If you was you know, something else, I would be that same to you. But you get from me what you give me.
I appreciate that very much.
And I wanted to speak on that too, Mac, that what Cat was just talking about these guys bring you on their podcast and you say, tell them one thing. And the next thing you know, they put something else out. Yep. Because I had them to do that to me. I had some guy putting out something, I said something about Ahmed Johnson. I don't even know Ahmed Johnson. I ain't never met Ahmed Johnson. But I'm just saying, and it had him sending threats back to me, talking about what he's going to do to me. I don't even know this guy, but that's why I quit doing the podcast too. And right now, I'm really scared. I don't do them now unless I vet them.
Unless you know they know who the people are. And you know, and it's so funny, they pick, you give them a great story, and there's so many things they can get from that story, positive things, they want to take it negative.
Well, let me ask you, Kat, just out of curiosity, what story were you sharing with these guys that they screwed up?
Okay, I'm gonna tell, they didn't screw the story up because they got it on video. Me saying it, and they didn't screw it up, but they screwed it up for me. It was too close to screw up for me. And Teddy, unlike somebody threatened me, I don't give a damn what nobody say to me. Come and do it. If they want to threaten me, come try to do it. That's the kind of person I am. But this hit me in a direction to where it's not anything physical. It's heartfelt. It was mental. And that right there is something that I can't fight. You know, I can't fight when they attack me mental of my heart, you know. And the person they attack with is a good friend of mine, Eric Bischoff. So he asked the story, how did you meet Eric? And I'm going to just tell you the story.
Yeah.
It's what you get from it. The way I met Eric, I was teaching at Garrett Bischoff, Eric's son. He was about 9, 10, 11 about that time. And his mom used to bring him in, and I had a bunch of kids, but Garrett was like a hard worker. And he was kind of tough. He was a little blonde hair kid. And it was my first time working in an all-white karate school, you know, where I came from the area I came in, I was working in mostly black, you know, with mostly black kids. And a lot of those kids over there had that demeanor of being tough and hard and wouldn't give up. But when I got to the area over there that was mostly white, well, all white, you know, it was a lot of kids over there that was, they had everything they wanted, you know, and ain't nothing wrong with that. It was a little different give and go. I couldn't be as hard on these kids as I was on the other kids. I just felt like that from the other neighborhood. So I found it was one kid in there that was tough. And when I said one kid, they all were tough, but this guy right here wouldn't quit. I mean, he'll get to practice early, and he'll call me. His mom will call me and say, can you work with him before practice? I said, wait a minute. Everybody else want to get out of class with me because my class is really hard, you know, and I wanted them to be hard. But this kid called me up. Hey, Mr. Miller, can you come work with me earlier? I'm like, man, if he's that tough, I'm going to work with him early. So I got to work an hour early, spent the hour working with him. Then after practice, he'll come to me before he leave. Is this what you're talking about? This kick. I'll show him a kick. Is this kick what you're talking about? I said, yes, that's the kick. Now go home and work on it. And then every day this kid will come back in, and that kick that I showed him the day before, a week before, he was always a little better. And I was like, are you taking, so one day I said, are you taking karate at another karate school? He said, no, sir. I said, so why, how do you learn how to take this technique to the next level before I even, you know, teach you that, taught you that? He said, well, my daddy did karate before. I said, okay, all right. I said, you tell your dad he's doing a good job. Because what that technique he just showed you is that best technique. And for him to know how to teach him and let you take it to the next level, he must have some skills. He said, yes, he was a black belt. So you wouldn't believe how many parents out here then talk about the old black belt when they were 12 years old. You know, and so I was like, oh, here go another one. And I was like, tell you that way, you're doing a good job. So anyway, I continued to work this kid. And then one day, the kid came in, hey, Mr. Miller. And he came in. And I said, what's up, Garrett? And he went back to the locker room to get dressed. I was starting the class. And his mom usually bring him in. They always wave and say hello. But I didn't see anybody out there for him. So he started working out. We started working out. Then after a while, I said, Garrett, how you get up here? He said, my dad brought me. I said, where your dad is? Said, that's him outside. Right before, I kept looking at this guy who was outside on the telephone the whole time. He was like important calls. He'd phone a ring during the class. He'd get up, go outside, talk. And I was looking at him. I said, he had this dark hair and the whitest teeth I've ever seen. I never seen teeth like those, man. Not even on the vampire. I mean, they were glistering white. And I could see it from the outside. Every time he smiled, you could clean. I'm like, who the hell is that? So he said, that's my dad. And I was like, oh, man, old pretty boy out there. You know, so anyway, we saw teaching class. He came in, he met me, shook my hand, and said, thanks for working with my kid. That's all I knew about Eric Bischoff. I didn't watch wrestling then.
Yep.
So now on Friday night was sparring night. These are the night we opened the school to anybody. I bring all my teachers in. I have five instructors. So I bring all five instructors in. And we'll line up on one side, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 being me. So we'll line up on that side. And whoever wanted to spar had to start with the number one guy and work their way down to me. So I did that because I could get to see who was good and who was bad. So that's why I worked down to them. So I knew how to work with them. So next thing you know, Garrett came in, which he was there every Friday night. But then that same guy with the black hair and the glistering white teeth came in too. And he had something folded underneath his arm it was blue. I was like, what the? And I looked at it, it was old wrinkled up karate gi. So he stopped, he said, Mr. Miller, can I spar with you guys? I was like, yeah. I mean, you know, you might need to sign a waiver or something. You know, you get hurt, don't blame me. So anyway, I said, yeah. So I looked at my teacher down on the end and I gave him the old Iggy. You know, that means teach him a lesson. So we started to spar. I had a little kid in front of me. I'm just playing around. Then I hear like, I don't know if you heard, Teddy, let me ask you something, Teddy. Have you ever been on the basketball court and you see two guys fussing back and forth? Then they think you hear how they swinging at each other?
Yeah. I've seen that.
So you don't hear nothing but knuckles. Pop, 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 pop. Then they break it up. So when we started to spar, I didn't hear nothing but pop, pop, pop. Then I heard footsteps, pop, 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 like somebody running. So I looked down there. I looked down there, and it was this blue gi chasing the karate teacher around. I said, man, the karate teacher was all right. I said, he must be having an off day. So anyway, the next four guys were better as they got down to me. So next one fight started. The guy, Eric, moved down again to the second guy, karate. And he was young guys, good, talented fighter guys. Next thing I heard the same thing, boom, 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 knocking into walls. And now this is funny because the whole class was kids. And there was just one adult, and that was Eric Bischoff, who was fighting the instructor. So the rest of the guys were just kind of bouncing around. Yeah. So he got to the second guy. I hear the same thing, pop, pop, boom, boom. So I didn't want to take my eyes off the kid I was working with. I wanted to stay there because what happened when you a karate instructor and you're trying to take it easy on one of these kids, they'll end up doing something real stupid, like kicking you in the nuts when you take your eyes off for it. So you got to kind of watch. You got to kind of keep your eyes on the boom. Keep them safe and keep them at range. But this guy will make it so much noise. Nathan, you know he'd have moved down the gate. He'd have beat up all four of my teachers. So the next guy took me was a heavyweight fighter. I said, I know he going to get him. So I kind of took it easy and watched those two go at it. Eric Bischoff, boy, let me tell you something. Eric was laying knuckles, man. Knees and elbows, man. I ain't seen nothing but knees and elbows, man.
Man.
Knees and elbows on that kid, man. Eric was beating this kid all over the place. So when he came down to me, you know what I was thinking. I was like, if he leave this place and not get a butt whipping, if he leave this place, then they're gonna look bad on me because I'm the chief instructor. They're gonna go back and say these. So I looked at Eric, I looked at the white teeth. I said, well, I'm gonna give it to you. That's what I said to myself. So soon we start. I was throwing kicks so high that he couldn't do nothing, but he couldn't even block them because they were so high. And they were falling down from the sky. You know, they were coming down this way. They weren't coming left and right or right to left. They were coming down from the sky. It was raining. Hey, it was raining black toes and toenails, baby. It was coming. But the thing is, Eric was standing right there trying to block these things. And I said, this guy is crazy. He don't know who the hell. I'm Ernest Miller. Bang, I put that kick up. Then I put my kick up one time, and I heard a little voice from the sideline say, that usually cheer for me. I heard that little voice say, come on, Daddy. Come on, Daddy. Everybody watching. Uh-oh. Everybody watching. So when that little voice said, come on, Dad, it's something in my heart. And I'm like this now. When I see a young fella who I have respect for their father, the first thing I do is talk to that young fella about their father. This is why I respect your father. This is why, because, you know, I didn't have that kind of fatherly figure in my life. Yeah. So I like to tell kids that, you know what? Your father, man, I got so much respect for him. He's such a great person. So when I heard that voice saying, cheering for him, it kind of brought me back and settled me down to where I said, I don't have nothing to lose. You know, win. This ain't no tournament. It's just ego thing. So I kind of slowed down. Eric will swing at me. I flip out the way. I throw a kick and I hold the kick up over his head and wouldn't hit him. But he was still swinging, wouldn't hit him. And then after it was over, I bowed. We went to the locker room to get dressed. And I still didn't know who this guy was. But after it was over, I went to the locker room. I said, hey, bro, you good, man. Who did you take karate from? Then he started naming some guys that I'm very familiar with. And I was like, oh, that's where you were from, man. That was a camp up there. If I knew that, man, I would have invited some more black belts and sell it each, y'all. So Eric looked at me, and Eric said, first of all, man, he looked around. He said, I still want to tell you, you could have wiped me up anytime you wanted to. He said, I thank you. He said, I thank you. Let me do the little stuff I did do. And I said, well, it's no big deal. Then he said, I'm glad you didn't hit me in my face. Cause he pointed to that white smile. He said, this is my money maker. I said, your money maker? What do you mean by that? He just said, I work for pro wrestling. He just said, man, you know what? You got talent, man. He just said, you're very athletic. You're young. You're good looking. You can talk. He just said, you know what? You might need to think about doing some work with me. And then right at that time, I was in the middle of getting ready to fight for a world kickboxing champion, ISK kickboxing, heavyweight kickboxing champion down in Florida. And then when he said wrestling, I looked at it and said, man, wrestling is fake. Hey, Eric, ain't nothing fake about this. You know, I don't work too hard to go and pretend to wrestle and pretend to do that. Then Eric said, yeah, that's right. But how much money do you make here? Soon he said that, I thought he'd leave the damn building right there.
Let me ask you, Ernest, let me ask you, when you got in the WCW, you ended up working with James Brown. Now, that's something that you and Teddy have in common. Teddy actually worked with James Brown early in his years.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and you worked with him in the ring. Can you tell me about your experience with James Brown?
Teddy, why you didn't tell me you worked with James Brown, man? I already like you, but why you didn't tell me?
Well, you know, before I got my background is radio. I was a disc jockey on a radio station. And that's where I met James Brown in Birmingham, Alabama. That's where I'm from. And I was on WENN radio there, and I met James there. And then I had a chance to work with him on his TV show that he had in Atlanta called Future Shop.
Future Shop, yeah, Future Shop, baby.
Yeah.
I used to be a little boy. I used to get in trouble because my mom said, go to bed. And Future Shop came on at 11 something. So I sneak and turn the TV on just to watch Future Shop. And my mom would come in. I told you, go to bed.
Yeah, well, that's how I met James, and then I had a chance to work at one of his radio stations in Augusta, Georgia. I worked for him.
Yeah.
So, that's how I met James through my disc jockey and radio career, man. And you know what? It's a funny thing, too, Ernest. That's how I got into wrestling, too, because I was working with James Brown at the TBS studios, where they were taping Georgia Championship Wrestling there, so I could go down on Saturday and get in free because the guys knew me from coming down with James Brown. So I used to go down and watch the TV taping of wrestling, and that's how I got involved in wrestling.
Okay, now let me go back and finish what I was talking about Eric Bischoff.
Yes,
I'm sorry to cut you off. I just got one more thing to say. Now,
that's all right.
From that story I just gave you, right? Did you hear anything about me kicking Eric's ass?
No.
Did you hear anything that say that's how Eric gave me a job because I kicked his ass?
No.
Never.
That podcast guy put on the thumbnail, Ernest Miller said he kicked Eric Bischoff's ass and then Eric gave him a job. I was like, bro, how did you get that from this conversation?
Yeah,
and why,
it's like you said, Gad, it is clickbait, and that's all that was. That was clickbait, and it's taking your words that you didn't even say and making a headline that's not even, you know, truth to the story that people will see.
Man, let me tell you something, man. That made me so mad, man, so angry, because I said I trusted this guy to do a podcast show for him when I really didn't want to. And it was just to wake up in the morning for some reason. I Googled my name for some reason. I forgot why I did it. I was looking for something. And then that popped up. The first thing popped up, Ernest Miller said he kicked Eric Bischoff's ass and Eric offered him a job.
Okay, Teddy, you got to remind me, Teddy. I'm going to put a thumbnail together and saying that he kicked Eric Bischoff's ass. So we're going to put that on our
please show. Don't. Please don't. Man, listen.
I'm not going to even play about that.
Me either. That's why I said I called that guy and said, bro, listen, out of all the other guys I told you I would kick their ass, I didn't like, why did you have to pin this one as the ass kicker one? I said, listen, first of all, I respect his family too much, and I respect this is a guy I told you who have done everything he said he will ever do. He did it. He stuck to it. So I said, why would I say, and I'm not speaking on how he treated other people, but I'm just talking about how he treated me.
Yep.
And I was like, why would I even say that? Listen, I don't even want to play like that. Take that thumbnail down and don't do that again. And I said, I'll never do another podcast. And that's how I got here with the great Teddy. And I'm just finding out right now that Teddy worked with the greatest dancer ever. He's second to me, James Brown.
Now, how did you meet James? Now, when he came in, was that something that Eric Bischoff kind of presented to you? How'd that come about?
No, I don't even think Eric was there then. I think it was Vince Russo.
Really?
And what happened, I started doing a little James. I used to like when James Brown used to drop down to that one knee. Then the guy, little guy come out, swipe
put the cape on.
What you call it, cape. Yeah, put the cape on. Then they walk off like the show is over. And then he go right back out there, go right back in to another hour.
It bust right out of the gate.
Yep.
Man, so I used to do that a lot. Then one of the over and over again. After every show, the crowd would get with it. Boo! Every time I do it, boo! Get the cat off here. I act like I'll get the win. Then Sonny Ono come out there. He'll shake the cape out, then put the cape on my shoulder. And I'm walking all like I'm so tired. I can't give no more. And the crowd booing me because I was a heel then. Boo, boo. Then soon I get ready to get up. I just come right back in, slide back in the ring, start dancing some more and stomp in the mud hole in the poor chump that's in the middle of the ring. And the crowd will turn from boo to laughter to cheering. You know, it was just another way, man, something I got from James Brown. But one of the girls who was in the Nitro Girl, I forgot who it was. She said it might have been Booker T's wife. I think Charmel. That's who it was.
It Charmel. Was Charmel, because she used to work for James.
Yeah, Charmel said, "Hey, Cap, I might be able to get James Brown to come in if you like." I said, "Oh, shit, bro." I said, "Girl, if I called her bro at that time because I like to mess with her." I was like, "Bro, if you can get him to come in to do anything," I went to Vince Russo. I said, "Vince Russo, man, this is all I ask. I don't want to win no championships. I don't want to win no belt. If I can work with James Brown, that'd be the highlight of my life. You know, you can have everything." He said, "Who? Let me talk to her way." Then next week, Vince Russo came in and said, "Hey, James Brown coming." I was like, "You lying." I damn near fainted in the ring. I was like, I was so nervous. He said, "Okay, this is how we're going to set it up. You're going to invite James Brown into the ring every night. And he's not going to show up. Then you're going to miss a show. And you're going to call in on the phone." They had the thing where I called in on the phone and said, "Hey, this Ernest Cap Miller, I can't come in tonight." "Why?" "Because I'm practicing with James Brown for our big dance off together." And they got me on that right there talking on the mic. Said, "Well, you're supposed to have your ass at work." "Well, I'm not coming in tonight." Then they'll find me out somewhere. Then they'll show a picture of me out doing something else in a restaurant, in a bar with girls and stuff, you know. So they kept saying, he's a fake. So the night of the pay-per-view, by matter of fact, I went in to meet James before the pay-per-view. And first thing I did, I got a picture of it. I dropped the one knee, bowed down, and kissed his feet. Those shoes, bro, those feet entertained me for years as a little 2 to 3 year old kid. Yep. Just the way he wiggled those feet, man, and how fast he was, man. Bro, let me tell you, that meant so much to me to do it. And he was so stunned and surprised. The picture was, he had his hand jumping back, laughing at me down, kissing his shoe. So yeah. I told James Brown, which I didn't know at first. I said, "Hey, James, I'm going to get a towel or something. Can you put the tape on me?" He said, "I've never caked anybody but one other person. I ain't asked who that person was." He said, "But I tell you what, because you're doing something I really like here. I like the way you're doing your James Brown. I like the way you're doing it for these color folks." And I was like, "Okay, all right, James, well, call us whatever you want to. You want to use the N-word? I'll use it with you. Come on, let's say it." We didn't go there, though.
Yep.
We didn't go there. They shut us down. But we wanted to go. Me and James Brown was on fire. And so James he had was a good... so happy to be there.
I was about James to say, Brown he looked so like
happy to be there.
He looked like it. When you watch the video, and you can go back and catch this on YouTube or on the WWE Network, there are moments where you can tell James is legitimately having a blast in that ring. There's no doubt. I don't mean to cut us short here, Kat, but we're about 3 minutes away from being cut off, and our shows are so short. I want to get in a couple of things real fast. You have a movie coming out, The Unbreakable Bunch, with Larry Zbyszko, Ray Glacier Lloyd, Haku, Stan Hansen. There's a couple
Ray Lloyd, Luther Biggs.
That's the other one that I forgot. Tell me a little bit about this movie. Like I said, we got about 3 minutes, but
it's a good movie, man. The movie gonna be fun. It's about wrestling, saving the world. And I got another movie coming out too called Trouble Man with Michael Jai White, Mike Rappaport, Mike Epps. So I got that movie coming out too. So I got a few of them coming out this year.
That's very cool. And also, sure. I want to get in the main thing. One of the reasons I wanted to get you on the show. Right behind you is the name of your new podcast, The Cat's Corner.
Oh, man, listen. I'm telling you, baby, if you want to hear some good talking, y'all about to come on over to the Cat's Corner podcast, baby. We going to tell all these stories that people want to hear.
And exactly. It's not just wrestling, is it?
Oh man, listen, I got from Goldberg to Michael White to Mike Epps. I got him on the show and these some interviews I've already shot, so they're ready to go. And I'm releasing them really slowly on my Instagram, yep. Ernest the Cat Miller. You can go on the Instagram, social media and find me, and I'm releasing the shorts there. But I got great stories, man, and it's going to be pretty fun.
How do people find you?
Yeah, just go to social media. I'm on social media, Ernest the Cat Miller.
All right. Ernest the Cat Miller. Now, your podcast itself, is there the full podcast? When does that actually drop?
I drop those at the same time on YouTube. Go to YouTube, Ernest the Cat Miller podcast, YouTube, and I'll be signing and doing something there with other platforms. But right now, I'm just having fun, man. I'm getting to talk to my friend, like people like Ted Alone, man. I can't believe I'm on here talking to Ted Alone, man.
Hey, man, well, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time out, man, to come and talk to me and Mac, man. Thank you so very much, Ernest. And if we can come on your podcast anytime and I can help you in any kind of way, man, feel free to let us know.
Hey, man, I really appreciate you guys having me, Ted. And I've always appreciated the way you treated me from day one. You know, I looked up to you, man, and you educated me on a lot of stuff. I would have not made it through the business if it wasn't for people like you and Stevie Ray, who really told me some guidelines and stuff to watch out for. Hey, you know what? I could have been up in WWE getting my hair shitted on.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
All right. I hate to cut it short, but they're going to cut us off if I don't. This has been Road Trip After Hours, a special episode with Ernest the Cat Miller, along with my WWE Hall of Famer, Teddy Long. And we'll see you again next week.
Holla, players.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel